you were given permission to work as a part-time academic. And I think there's lots of, in the last 10 years, or less than 10 years, 5 or 6 years, we've had a lot of new hires and a much greater percentage of women. And I think they would be overjoyed to know that's a possibility, because I think that's not known as being a possibility. And I think that's maybe one of the things we have to work at McGill, is to say, what kind of room is there for making adjustments to give people flexibility? And if every individual thinks that they're sort of, doesn't know what other possibilities other people have led the way in, it makes it harder. So I think we should do something like that.
So I believe this category was created and never removed. Some people in the high administration may know better, but what I had requested was not to change my tenure clock. To me, that was really important, but I didn't want to work full-time. So for 10 years, I worked part-time, and when I got to tenure, they actually prorated my publication, my teaching. You know, so if I had published 3 publications, it counted for 4 because I was working 3/4 of full time. And they really did that. They really took that into account. And to me, that was the best, because I didn't have to wait to be promoted. I didn't want to slow my career. I didn't want for people to think, oh, yeah, well, she's not good. That's why she's not an associate. And so to me, I will forever be grateful to Dean Leggett for creating that. And I know I believe this category still exists. I think I've shown that it can work if the departments and the committee take that into account. And the privilege of being not paid that day to be with my kids, you know, and not having the pressure, you know, knowing I was home and I was not supposed to be working. I was supposed to be a mother. It made a difference, so I'm happy to talk to, and I always say, whenever I meet a scientist colleague who's pregnant, or for that matter, another faculty, I say, well, you know, if you're interested, there I am, and I'm happy to talk about that. To me, it worked well. Yeah, that's how they did it. They prorated and they abided by that. And I'm grateful for that. I hope my success showed that that was a wise investment, because it's 10 years for a career that, you know, will be 30, 40 years at McGill. So, I mean, it's not much to give the woman a time to feel comfortable balancing. If then after you come back and you're happier and you're less stressed because you feel you've done it, you know? Actually, I should have stayed part-time, but that's another story.
Yeah, I just want to make a comment about that. I think that's, I think that's a really tough one. Having been on both sides, having taken maternity leaves myself for 3 months here, because in the U.S. they're much shorter, and having also hired females, I don't think the problem is so much with the institution, and I'm just going to take the sort of the flip side of it. I think that it would be fantastic if we could have more policy level decisions that would, for example, do this, you know, prorated time and publication rates for women that are very focused and very, you know, somebody who really wants to be on tenure track and says, here's my plan, this is what I want to do, and I'd like to have it like this. That's one thing. I think what we're seeing in medicine, and I can only talk about medicine, it's a little bit different. And I think where it gets difficult is that we have clinical responsibilities. And when we're not there, somebody else has to do that work. And that becomes very complicated. In an environment where there are no shortages and everybody's happy to do that work for you, that's fine. But in an environment where that's not the case, It becomes more difficult from a practical standpoint. So again, I'm talking about medicine, where most of us, even if we're doing science and applying for grants and writing papers, we're also having to do clinical work. And I think the only piece that I would give as kind of my own personal advice here is that if you're a young person starting in an environment, you should try to be as clear as possible about what you think your needs are going to be, so that nobody's ever expecting one thing and getting something else. Because from the point of view of responsibility, it's very, very difficult when somebody comes on and suddenly they, you know, after you've had a discussion about mat leave, they say, I'm going to be gone for a year. So that's, and I think that we as women have to work that out, because otherwise we're going to face the consequences of people not wanting to hire us, where there is a lot of work to be done, more than just within our research or within our own personal career advancement.
Any question? I won't pass it to you.
Well, I'd love to comment on the comment. We're both professionals, we're both working, and I decided at this time in my life to work 4 days a week so that I could take
I asked of him that he be home at 5:30 so we could all have dinner together, and then he could disappear after dinner in the basement and finish the work he had to do. And I think the problem that we're having, and yes, we need to be very clear on our expectation in the workplace and tell our bosses and tell, you know, our faculty, department heads, to tell them what we want, but I think the problem, and we all know it, I'm preaching to the choir, is that it's a societal thing that we need to do, is that we need to involve men into the family so that they too take parental leave, they too have to be home for dinner, they too, so it's, we cannot go like this as a society and be, you know, the man that publishes 100 papers a year and then the women have to, we have to run behind them so that we have to publish as many papers. That's got to stop. I mean, we're not on a treadmill here, and we're at a point in the society, I think in the industrial society, is that we've gone a long way and we don't need to run anymore. I'm just thinking about the space age. It was crazy in the 60s. I mean, the people that know about NASA, I mean, these guys, they were working 200% so that shuttle would go and fly, and you know, it's like, hey, hold on, we can't do that all the time, we can't do that for 10,000 years. I mean, there's a period of time in the life of a society, as a nation, as an industrial people, that we need to go 200%, but I think at this point in our lives, in the way the society is changing, is we need to slow down a little bit, and it won't stop. I mean, we're still having, everybody here has a cell phone, and it's fine, and we're just going to get a better cell phone, a smaller cell phone, but we're there, and so we need to slow down a little bit. And men of my generation and Trace's generation are participating more in the family life, and we need to focus on that as a society.
Thanks. We might have phase two. Next year we could have women in society who are also in science, engineering, and medicine. Maybe that'll be our next conference next year. Catherine alluded to that. She talked about deciding at one point in her career that she wasn't going to do the paper writing chase, and she was instead going to focus on her field research, which at that point I think happened to be embedded with people. It was people-based. You were on
in the field. What struck me, did that come to you over a long, or was it an epiphany? Was it something that just...
No, I think I've done the work I've done by passion. I love what I do. And it seemed that's the way to do it well, was to do it with the people. And I trusted, I still trust, that whoever would judge my work would be able to not just sum my paper, but, for example, look at the citations. I'm a very highly cited scientist. I'm known for the quality of what I do more than the quantity. I don't, you know, I have a very good publication record, but, you know,
not 300 papers. And I mean, I think if you want to change things, you just have to do things the way you think things should be done. And to go to Ariane's point, when I came back to work and Dean Leggett asked me, what do you want? That's what the question should be. I think there will be a different answer for every single woman. It will depend on their field, on their partner, on their department. But I think we should have this, you know, willingness of doing things the way we think should, things should be done, and not force ourselves in a pattern. And I think society will benefit from that, definitely. And I, you know, the category that was created for me at McGill was not a male or female category. It was a full-time on partial leave that can apply to men, and it has applied in my department to men as well. And I think you're quite right that this battle is a battle of everybody together for, you know, access to children and to science.
We have time for two more questions. We have had a long day, then I'm going to wrap up. I'm